Good evening, beloved. It's good to be with you. As we look at the book of Revelation, and specifically we're looking at the Church of Laodicea. Now this is the third session on the Church of Laodicea, but we're already in session 26 with regards to the book of Revelation. Now the passage that we're going to look at this evening is Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 18, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, verse 18. Now, before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you in Jesus' precious name. We pray and ask you, Father, please, to open up your word to us, to reveal Christ to us more and more, so we can get to know him, and so that we can see who he is, so that we can glorify you as the living Almighty God through Christ, who is the second person of the Triune God. Father, we thank you for the privilege of having your word, to study your word, and at the end of the day to be able to understand your word through the Spirit that enables us to understand your word. May that be true as well today. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, now so far we have seen in the letter of Jesus Christ to the church in Laodicea that we need to watch out for pride. That's the one thing we've seen. And we need to watch out for arrogance at the same time. Eh? That we need to guard our mouths. And what we see in the bank doesn't reflect our spiritual condition. Okay, and then we have also seen that Jesus is serious about his evaluation of the church. And he will actually vomit any church out of his mouth now, if they are in the state that the Laodicean church was in. Now in verse 18, Jesus gives the church in Laodicea some excellent advice. He says to them, look at verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now, beloved, remember, the Laodicean church was measuring their spiritual, let's call it their spiritual health, and they were measuring it based on the money that they accumulated in the bank. Now, the amount of money that they had, or the amount of wealth that they had. But what Jesus does is he uses the three major industries that was in Laodicea, and he basically uses it as an example of some deep spiritual truths. It's amazing how Jesus got it right. You know through the Gospels as well how Christ would use examples that are just absolutely amazing. When he uses parables, the parables were amazing, and he would use everyday stuff to make his disciples see things, and those who are listening to him to enable them to see things. And here he does the same thing. He uses the industry that is in Laodicea to teach them spiritual truths like you cannot believe. Now, if we go to what Peter said about in his first letter about the relationship between faith and gold, he says there's a relationship. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, this is what he said, and he talks about there are times that we have to go through trials. He says, so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See what Peter does here. He basically compares our faith to gold. And the trials we go through are like fire that purifies or refines the gold. And then the result of gold that has been purified, that has been put through the fire again and again and again, what is the result? Purity. Perfection. So, Jesus is basically saying to the church in Laodicea that they should get faith from him that is pure, but not just pure, it is so pure that it's ready for heaven. You see, the Laodiceans were actually poor, I believe, in saving faith. They were rich in earthly wealth, but they were very, very poor with regards to faith, eternal things, things that really mattered for eternity. They were poor in those things, but they were very wealthy when it came to earthly wealth and earthly riches. So Jesus says to them, basically, what they need to do is become rich in saving faith. Okay, that's basically what Jesus tells them. Become rich in saving faith. Become rich in those things that has eternal value. Don't just get stuck on this earthly things. Yeah, you think you've got a bank balance and you think you've become very wealthy and you think you've made it and you think you've got it all. No, you're wrong. Earthly wealth and earthly riches means nothing for eternity. If you didn't use the earthly wealth and the earthly riches to basically invest in eternity, it means nothing. You can use, let's say if you've got money in the bank, if a church has got money, wow, amazing. They can take that money and then use it for evangelism. They can use it for outreach. They can use it for eternal purposes. Obviously, then it will mean something for eternity. But if they just accumulate money and they say, we've got so much money, and they just buy more and more stuff, you know, for the building and for the sound equipment and all that kind of stuff, it means nothing for eternity. Especially if the truth of the gospel is not even going out from that specific church. All right, so Jesus tells the Laodicean church to become rich in faith. And I believe specifically he's talking about saving faith. But Jesus also tells them to buy from him white garments. Now, white garments basically represents what? Purity, ne? Purity, holiness. You can say the robe that was or is given to all believers for them to be able to enter into heaven. It is a white robe. It represents purity, holiness. And how do we become pure? How do we become holy? Beloved, there's only one way, and it's in and through Christ. His blood that cleanses us of our sin, that washes us. And as we repent of our sin, he continuously just continues to wash us of our sin. If we say that we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the amazing thing about Christ. So, these white garments that Jesus is speaking about represents purity and holiness. And believers receive a white robe for them to be able to enter into heaven. So, contrary to the physical industry of cloth making or making of clothes in Laodicea, Jesus basically tells the church to get spiritual sanctification from him, to be dressed in holiness rather than accumulating garments for themselves, maybe clothes and stuff that makes them look rich. Instead of dressing in all this wonderful worldly paraphernalia and all this kind of stuff, rather they need to be clothed in sanctification. They need to be clothed in holiness. They need to be clothed in purity. And Jesus says to them, that's what they should do. You see, the reason why the Laodiceans were to buy white garments was basically to cover their sinfulness. To cover the sin that was so deeply rooted in their souls. And this white garment, this garment of holiness and this garment of purity would basically cover the sinfulness of their soul. You see, beloved, only Christ can cleanse us so that we can be blameless before the Father. That's a fact. Only Christ can present us, let's call it presentable, acceptable before the Father. All right, so that's why he tells him, listen, don't worry about the clothes and the industry in Laodicea. Get the stuff from me. because he's talking about spiritual things. Eh? But then Jesus also tells the Laodicean church to anoint their eyes with eye salve. Now, the salve that basically was made in Laodicea was made for sore and weak eyes. That's what history teaches us. So Jesus tells them that they should get a salve that will help them to be able to see. The salve that was made in Laodicea only helped with painful and weak eyes. But Jesus actually told them that they were blind and they needed a salve that would actually open up their blind eyes. They needed spiritual salve. Now to cause them to be able to see spiritually. You see, beloved, sin basically blinds the soul. It blinds people spiritually so that they cannot see the truth and be set free. But Jesus is the one who opens up the eyes for people to be able to see spiritually. And only if someone's spiritual eyes have been opened up are they able to see their lost state. And I believe that's what the salve is for, is to put it on their eyes so that their eyes can open up, so that they can actually see what was really in their hearts, to see their lost state so that they can then turn to Christ for salvation. Absolutely amazing. Now, when we get to verse 19 of Revelation chapter 3, we find some very interesting words. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Now, this is actually an amazing call of Christ to the church. Because Jesus starts with the words, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Now, from these words, it is basically implied that Jesus loved the church in Laodicea. He really loved them. Because if he didn't love the church, he would not have bothered to call them to repentance. He would not have disciplined them or chastened them. You see, when Jesus loves someone, it will become visible through his rebuke and his chastisement. I want you to think about that for a moment. When Jesus loves someone, it will become visible through his rebuke of that person when that person is wrong or that person is doing sin or fallen into sin. And his love will become visible through his rebuke and his chastisement. Now, the word rebuke in the Greek basically carries the meaning of to convict, to show something to be wrong. Now, if Jesus loves someone, he will show that person the wrongfulness of their ways or their actions. That's when Jesus loves someone. He will go out of his way he will definitely show the person the wrongfulness of their actions or their ways. The opposite is also true when Jesus does not show someone the wrongfulness of his or her ways. It basically shows that he doesn't love that person. That means that Christ has given that person over to their sinful ways, their sinful behavior, their sinful conduct. You see, God's wisdom is once again on display here. We read the letter, that the Lord Jesus Christ through the angel, through John, sent to the letter, sent to the Laodiceans. We see God's wisdom in this letter. You see, human wisdom is basically like this. You show love through showing affection and caring and doing special things for the person that you love, isn't it? That's kind of, let's call it human wisdom. You show love through the affection you have for somebody, the way you care for that person, how you do special things for that person. That's how we know that the person loves that other one, the other person. But God's wisdom, as described here, is to show His love through pointing out the wrong that we do, so that we can correct it. Beloved, this is amazing. God's love is shown by pointing out the wrong things that we do. And this is something that I sometimes also struggle with, especially in preaching. I would have a passage of scripture and I would just like to share all the positive things in that passage. Wow, there's so many beautiful positive things. And then the next moment, as I read through the text and I think of the reality of life and I think of the things that's happening in the world today, I get to the point where I say, you know what? I have to tell people. I have to point out the wrong that people do. Because if I don't point out the wrong that people do, do I really care about them? If I know that someone is walking towards a massive cliff, and that person is going to fall down that cliff and truly and definitely die, what will I do? Will I just stand there and say, ah, die, it's fine? Or will I run to that person and try to prevent that person from going down the cliff? Well, beloved, I think the thing that we will do as believers is we will try to prevent that person from falling down the cliff, especially if we know that there's a cliff. And especially, let's say, that person is walking down the wrong path, and on that wrong path, there's a cliff. Then I will try to convince that person, listen, the path that you've taken is the wrong one. You're going to destroy yourself. So I will try to basically point out the wrong for that person, so that person can come to an acknowledgement, and at the end of the day, not follow that route, so that they will not be destroyed. So, that's God's wisdom. God's wisdom is that love is not shown just through, obviously it's shown through affection and caring and doing all kinds of special things for the person that you love. Obviously, that's the way that love is shown. There's no two ways about it. I'm not disputing it because that's the way it's done. But God's wisdom, as described here in our text, is He shows His love by pointing out the wrong that we do so that we can correct it. Because when we correct it, we will be blessed. God wants us to be obedient to Him. But Jesus also said in verse 19 that those that He loves, He will chasten. Now, to chasten basically means to educate, to instruct, or to correct. You know, the thing that parents do when they bring up a child? That's basically what it is. To educate, to instruct, to correct. That's basically what it boils down to. Now, Christ Jesus was telling the church in Laodicea that He loves them. And because He loves them, He will educate them. But He will educate them to do what? He will educate them to do what is right, what is acceptable in God's sight. He will instruct them in the way that they should go. He will correct them when they do or say something that is not right. And through that, He will show them that He loves them. Through that, they will actually see that He really, really loves them. But beloved, this reminds me how many times believers are basically disciplined by God. And the discipline is not, it's not a pleasure. It's not something that anybody can be excited about, because sometimes discipline is hard. It's really, really hard. It's painful. So God would go and He would put a believer through discipline. And as He disciplines that believer, God is actually showing that child of His, He's showing that person that He loves him or her. I was watching a video. It's not really a video. So it's just a it was a video. It spoke about a quite a few things. But in that video, there was this part that said, there's this mother. I think she's got three children, if I'm not mistaken, and she allows the children to do whatever they want. She never disciplines them. She literally allows them to do whatever they want. Now, beloved, you know what? I believe with my whole heart, and you can believe different if you want, but I believe with all of my heart that mother, she thinks that she really loves her children, but she doesn't. She loves her idea of bringing up the children more than the children. Because if she loved her children, she would give those children boundaries. She would make sure that those children are well educated in how to conduct themselves in this world. If she really loved the children, she would even discipline them at times when it's necessary to be just disciplined. But because she loves her own idea of bringing up her children more than her children, that's why she allows them to do whatever they want. And I believe it's so wrong. I don't believe it's biblical at all. But she's not a Christian anyway. Beloved, God's wisdom is, if you truly love someone, you will educate that person and you will correct that person if that person does wrong. And you will educate that person in the way that they should go, in what they should do to glorify God. That's the whole idea. You see, beloved, Christ's love is shown in the rebuke and the chastening of the church in Laodicea, which they received from Christ. The church in Laodicea could clearly see that Christ loved them. Because he doesn't just leave them and say, you don't want to listen to me, so let me do away with you. No, Christ came to them. He spoke to them. Obviously, he vomited them out of his mouth, obviously, because they were lukewarm and they were, it was a bad taste in the mouth and all those kind of things, obviously. But still, Christ reaches out to them. Christ speaks to them. He rebukes them, he educates them, he tells them what they are doing wrong, and he tells them what they need to do, what is right. They need to come and buy from him. Now, beloved, what is important to notice here is this. Jesus' love was extended to the church in Laodicea. This does not tell us that the church loved Jesus. It doesn't tell us anything about the love of the church for Christ. But Christ shows his love by rebuking those who sinned against him in the church. He shows his love by basically chastening those who sinned against him. Ultimately, Jesus shows his love by calling them to repentance. And this is huge. This is huge. Christ Jesus calls the church to repentance, and that's an act of love. Yeah, in the world that we live in today, that's the opposite. If you call people to repentance, to repent of their sin before a holy God, wow, you are just, how can I say, you're just on the lowest level of humanity. They don't want to listen to you. They don't want anything to do with you. They will say you are a problem and all kinds of stuff. Beloved, the world doesn't see love. Or, let's say, doesn't see rebuke. Doesn't see a call to repentance as part of love. They will say clearly, no, you hate me. That's why you want me to repent. You don't want me to do whatever I want. I want to do whatever I want. So why do you call me to repentance? Why do you call me to do what God wants me to do? I want to do my own thing. If you really love me, you will allow me to do whatever I want. Which is not true. We love the world. We love sinners. We love people, even evil, evil, wicked people. We love them with the love of Christ. We want to see them saved. That's why we call them to repentance, and when we call them to repentance, it's an act of love. I don't want them to be lost. I want them to be saved. And if I want them to be saved, I have to call them to repentance. Because in Scripture, it's clear that you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without repentance and faith. The rebirth, you've got to be born again, which, obviously, when somebody is truly born again, they will confess their sin because they realize they are sinners. They will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives them entrance into heaven. So, beloved, Jesus shows his love by calling them, the Laodicean church, to repentance. And to repent, what does it mean? It means to turn away from your sin towards Christ. And the fact that Jesus Christ extends like an invitation to the lukewarm believers that he spewed out, that's an act of love. Now, it's unfortunate, as I said before, but let me say it again, that in the world today, even in the church, rebuke, chastisement, a call to repentance is not seen as an act of love. It's not. You will be called names. You will be called all kinds of stuff. Unloving and I don't know what else. When in fact, calling a person to repentance, calling a person to act the way that God wants them to act, calling a person to that is an act of love. But beloved, Christ Jesus did it to the church in Laodicea, and that's our example of what true love looks like. And we need to understand this. If a fellow brother or sister come to me and share with me and say, listen, I'm seeing something and I would like you to think about this and pray about this, and they reveal something, sin in your life, please never ever see it as that person wants to get to you and knock your head down or knock you down or knock your head in or whatever. That's an act of love. That's true brotherly or sisterly love. If somebody's willing to come and to share the truth with us, to say, listen, what you're doing is not right, it's wrong. What you should be doing is this or that. That's a true act of love. And I really pray that the Lord will help us, that we will be able to do what Christ did. And that people, that we as specifically in the church, believers in the church, that we will see correction and education and a call to repentance, that we will see it as an act of love rather than, as an act of someone who doesn't love. Christ is our example. God showed us how to do these things, and we should follow in his footsteps. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And thank you so much that we can learn from the book of Revelation, specifically this letter to the Laodicean church, that when you chastise us, when you discipline us, when you correct wrong behavior and you educate us on what we need to do, and if you call us to repentance, thank you so much that it's an act of love. Thank you that you love us so much that you don't leave us where we are. But Father, that you call us to repentance, that you call us to holiness, that you call us to live the kind of lives that you want us to live. I pray that you will enable us, please, during this week to do exactly that. For your name's sake, so that you may be glorified in every aspect of our lives. So I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening to this evening message. I really do pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that His face will shine upon you, and that He will give you His peace. God willing, until next week.